Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning before us, first letter of Peter, we read from the first chapter, begin with the first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, I think many people have a wrong conception of what the Christian faith is, and especially the life of sanctification, if you will, the living as a Christian and what becomes of the Christian here on this earth. What I mean by that is very bluntly, God never promised that there would never be sickness. He never promised that there would never be birth complications, diseases, and the like. He never promised that you were going to be wealthy materially. He never promised that everything was always going to go all right, that you would never have any problems. He does not make the pitch for us to come unto him because he will solve all of our earthly concerns and problems. As a matter of fact, it is quite possible and oftentimes does happen that when one is stronger in their faith, there is more adversity that comes into their life. It is not all uncommon for people to say, now that family has really been hit hard with one thing after another. How can they stand up under it all? How can they have such a positive faith? But yet, they can and they do. Peter was writing to a group of people, individuals that were part of the diaspora, the dispersion of the people after the persecution came upon Christians, and they were scattered throughout the land at that time. If you recall last week's the epistle, or the book reading from the book of Acts, really, you recall that the Pentecost, where they were preaching to these various groups of people, if you noticed in our text, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia. Yeah, those are the ones that had come to hear the message, come to it for the Pentecost celebration and heard the message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead. And now they took that back with them. And there were others that were scattered because of that message. But also note in the text, Asia and Bithynia. You know, those words come in there. If you do a cross reading and look, and you'd look in one of Paul's missionary journeys, recall in one of the verses it said there, and the Holy Spirit kept us from going to Asia and Bithynia. Okay. And so the persecution that was going on, what was the persecution? We aren't necessarily told. Obviously, it was a persecution against the Christian faith and the belief in Jesus and the acceptance of him as Savior from sin, death, and the devil, so on. But this was the group of people that Peter was writing to. And so the whole first epistle of Peter really is one that is a message trying to comfort them. And the very first thing he does in his effort to comfort them is to point them to Jesus. You and I are not immune from obstacles and trials in our lives. Each of us, if we were to sit down and visit There are numerous things that have gone on in our lives, events that have taken place, many of which we wish we could turn back the clock and live those days all over again and do things differently. There are things that came in spite of what we were doing, just as natural causes, or as we would refer to them as natural causes. And so the book offers a great deal of comfort to us as well. And for everything in life, what is the first thing that God wants us to do? Turn to Him. Turn to Him. Whenever you have problems and you think your life has fallen apart and your finances are ruined and this and that and whatever it might be, and I don't mean to make light of them because they happen to us all in various ways, the first thing that we do is we turn to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter is doing here. He says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. God always does things big, doesn't He? His great love for us, His great mercy and grace. You know, that mercy, it's not like a pity, but it's really, the term talks about a deep, heartfelt yearning for someone or something. It's a really an intense word, intense emotional word. Probably, you know, the way I can think of it myself and perhaps can help you as well. We had some events in London just what, a week or so ago, where people were killed by terrorists and such. And there was that one very touching story about a young lady from Canada and was coming to visit her fiancé, and she was one of the ones killed. You read that, and your heart goes out to the family there and such, but not as it would if you had have been that fiancé, or if you were that girl's mother and father or brother or sister. That's the type of emotion that we see here with God. That is that intense yearning for you and for me, and for our salvation. And so, when you look at that, and when you consider that, and you pause to reflect on that, how could we possibly think that God would allow anything to happen to us that would be for our evil? You don't love someone that well and say, well, I'm glad it happened, or I'm glad that came to them. No, you're just torn apart by it. And that's what God, in His great love for us, sent His Son. He yearns for us. We are special to Him. And He gives us that living hope. There again, you know, how do we understand a living hope? Use another illustration. We see movies and things where there's someone maybe on a life raft or anything out in the middle of the ocean for days, and they give up all hope, and they're just, you know, just ready to breathe their last. And all of a sudden they see a plane or hear a plane, and or they see a ship off in the distance. And all of a sudden they get up, and they start waving. They it's kind of like they have that last bit of strength, the last gasp of energy that they go up. That's a living hope. Yeah, we're knocked down by a lot of the things that happen in life, but we have that hope in the Lord. It causes us to get up and say, do what you want, Satan. Rant and rave against me, cause all these things, or allow, you know, whatever. I have the sure victory. I have the hope of eternal life. And that is something that goes on for eternity, an inheritance that's incorruptible. When we use the words of both Paul and Peter when we talk about suffering, they will often refer to it as these light and momentary trials and sufferings. Any one of us who have gone through something very tragic or very, very difficult, to say these light and momentary troubles, what do you mean light? And this is, you know, my whole world is crashing in around me seemingly. How can you call it that? You can call it that because you're viewing it in light of eternity. It may be that you will have to suffer weeks, months, even years with something. But it pales in comparison to eternity. That is ours forever. No one can take that from us. And so we endure the trials and the suffering that are for a time. And notice in Scripture that phrase that keeps on popping up, in a little while, in a little while. in a little while. In God's view, the things that happen in our lives here on earth are always just a series of little whiles. They happen for a little while. And then God brings us through or helps us to accept and to receive. The latter part of the text there, we could say, maybe we could put a little cute little line on it, to be able to rejoice when you're laying in a pit of despair. Would maybe sum that up. How in the world can I be rejoicing when I am in the absolute pit of depression and despair and all this? Now, that is the question, isn't it? Well, first of all, and not saying I can answer that question for you in specifics, but first of all, maybe it is that we need to admit what it is that we are dealing with. I see many times when people are interviewed, they will say, my friends all say I'm so strong, but they just don't know. Inside, I am dying every moment. Don't let it inside. Get it out. My friends say I'm strong. Friends, I'm not strong. I need help. I need encouragement. I need someone there to hold me up. I need someone to give me some words of encouragement. When we admit, yes, I'm dealing with an issue. I'm dealing with something. I'm hurting. It's always the first step to recognize something, not to contain it and try to put on this face to the world around that, you know, I'm really holding up strong. The next thing is to understand that these are things that God is using to try and to test and to purify your faith. Notice the words, even the gold, some of it gets burned away. But what remains is the pure thing. And that's with our faith as well. What remains is the pure thing. And who knows what God has in store for each of us? How God can, a year from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, take that experience that you went through, and now you are in such a different position to be able to help someone, to encourage someone, and to spur someone on, because you have been there. You know what you have gone through. And most importantly, you know how God has brought you through. How many times do we talk to older couples with marriage and things like that? Yeah, we've been married for 40, 50, 60 years. It was the Lord that brought us through. It was always the Lord that helped us in this time and with that time and so on and so forth. Listen to those words. Let them sink in. It was the Lord who brought us through. It was the Lord who was our help. He was the one that and he uses these things to refine and to purify that faith. So it's not some fair weather fan where I'm believing in the Lord today because everything is going my way. You know, everything is going great, wonderful, and so on and so forth. And then tomorrow when something bad happens, oh, you know, Lord, I hate you. Why don't you love me? You sure show me no mercy and no kindness and such. No, it's all these things that burn off that those impurities and that dross so that that faith is ever pure and clings to our Lord Jesus Christ. And he sums up that whole thought there, that just the idea, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You have that inexpressible and glorious joy. How can someone in the pit of despair be rejoicing? I don't know, but the Holy Spirit will give you that knowledge. And the Holy Spirit will help you to be able to understand that these light and momentary sufferings are only working in an eternal good in you. And you'll rejoice as Peter was able to do. I rejoice in the sufferings that I am enduring because I am suffering this for Jesus' name's sake. And that is what gave him such hope. And that is why he could write to these people. It wasn't as though, Peter, you don't understand what we're going through. You don't understand our situation. Granted, we don't all understand each other's situations. That does not mean that we can't offer words of comfort and hope to each other. Because we go back to the cross. There, your salvation was won. There, your eternity was won. And nothing can take you from that. No one can rob you from that. And so adversities and trials and tribulations cannot even begin to touch what the Lord has promised and given to you. That is that living hope that I can look at the things that are going on and I can say, Lord, you are my Lord. I trust in you and you will never let me down. Amen.